For years, Samsung has dominated the global smartphone market, even outselling Apple. But more recently, things have changed. Their sales are slipping, market share is declining, and Apple has claimed the number one spot. What happened? As it turns out, it's not just Apple that's eating into their dominance, and it's not just in Western countries that Samsung is losing. Samsung has been in the mobile business for much longer than you'd think. They even made car phones in the 1980s, but where our story really begins is in 2007. When the iPhone was announced, everyone in the industry quickly began panicking. Some initially laughed.
Steve Jobs goes to Macworld and he pulls out this iPhone. What was your first reaction when you saw that?
$500, fully subsidized with a plan? I said, that is the most expensive phone in the world, and it doesn't appeal to business customers because it doesn't have a keyboard, which makes it not a very good email machine.
But pretty soon, everyone saw where the money was going and realized they needed a smartphone, and fast. HTC and Google released the T-Mobile G1 the next year, a phone that fizzled out but brought very, very important new technology. Telecom providers based their entire strategies around the iPhone, like AT&T's massive exclusive deal, and their competitors scrambled to find some form of touchscreen smartphone to offer themselves, which brings us to Samsung. From the outside, they might have seemed like another company on the smartphone bandwagon, but they were different. Samsung was in a unique position, just becoming the second biggest phone producer in the world in 2007 and had massive manufacturing plants everywhere. They were the world's leader in LED technology, and they were miles ahead of everyone in OLED and AMOLED technology. They dominated the TV market and had just finished beating Sony. Now, Samsung was coming for Apple, but it would take a bit of time. While others were releasing half-baked, slow, buggy, and frankly ugly phones, Samsung spent a couple more years developing the real iPhone killer, the Samsung Galaxy.
Cinema quality entertainment that goes wherever you do. The Samsung Galaxy S, that's the wonder of Samsung.
I remember the early Galaxies. These were about as cool and popular as the iPhone. Samsung did something else to stand out, something genius. In his first company speech, Nokia's new CEO Stephen Elop said, "The battle of devices has now become a war of ecosystems, where ecosystems include not only the hardware and software of the device, but developers, applications, e-commerce, advertising, search, and many other things." Despite being the man who almost killed Nokia, Elop was right. The war of smartphones wasn't just about touchscreens, it was about ecosystems. While Nokia pushed their own OS, Symbian, then the Windows phone, which went about as far as you'd expect, Samsung pushed the real competitor to iOS, Android. Android was a hugely popular open source OS produced by Google, but Samsung wasn't the only ones using Android, and many Android smartphones before the Galaxy were pretty bad. This is why Samsung waited. By letting everyone else panic and make mistakes, they could slowly perfect the smartphone and learn from everyone else, without losing millions like Nokia or Motorola. Samsung also had more up their sleeve than just Android. Remember, they were the world leader in LED technology and they were going to leverage that. This meant you had a phone with possibly the best display, great speed, long battery life, dual pixel cameras, and an amazing Android UX. It's no wonder why the Galaxy exploded.
Samsung Galaxy S3, designed for humans.
Within 100 days of launch, the Galaxy S3 sold 20 million units, and things only picked up from there, which is where we find some truly baffling stats. You might think that Samsung was right behind Apple, trying to catch up to the iPhone, but that's not exactly true. In a way, it was actually the other way around. They were beating Apple. In July 2013, Samsung overtook Apple in global market share and only gained momentum from there. In Q4, they sold 83 million smartphones worldwide, while Apple sold 50 million iPhones. That put Samsung's market share at 29%, with Apple under 18%. Impressive, but we do need to clear something up. Samsung was selling more globally, but Apple was still dominating within the US, with 51% market share, which is where the real money is. Samsung was far behind with just 20%. There's also the fact that Apple was the most profitable with the best margins. But something was clearly in motion. Globally, and even in the US, Apple's lead was slowly shrinking, and most of it was being taken by Samsung. If you think about it, Samsung at this time was the company to watch, overtaking Apple in smartphones, dominating in TVs, pushing new LED technology, and holding the biggest market share. The revenue between 2008 to 2013 more than doubled to $210 billion. Samsung was very much the leader, but that was about to change. Samsung was on a roll, but they quickly saw their growth plateau. They peaked at 33% global market share at the end of 2014, but since then, it's been largely flat with a slight decline. Their presence in the US is the exact same, a bit up, a bit down, largely flat, and way, way behind Apple. Their revenue is not so great either. Between 2013 and 2022, it did grow by $30 billion, but that's with many ups and downs, and nothing compared to their jump from 2008. And their profits were even more volatile. Samsung exploded into the smartphone race with the Galaxy, but the fire had now dwindled. Why? Well, for starters, we need to look at the competition. Samsung's growth was challenged by rising brands, particularly from China. Brands like Huawei and Xiaomi were releasing new phones at great prices, and they were good. The gap between premium and budget smartphones was shrinking. Sure, the camera might not be as good and it might not have the same ecosystem, but you could get a pretty cheap phone and it would still look amazing and you'd get 80% of the experience. Also, these brands weren't just cheap, but rather strategically cheap. They were cheap where it mattered. Huawei pushed aggressive R&D and high-quality features at a way cheaper price, while Xiaomi went for the same processor power, the same screen, but again, just way, way cheaper. The Xiaomi Mi 5, for example, was just $400, yet had a great screen, fingerprint sensor, a camera with 4K video, and lots of RAM, and all in 2016. This was a big problem for Samsung in particular. Remember, they were the bigger global player, and in markets like India, along with Southeast Asia and the Middle East, they started losing. In 2015, Xiaomi sold 70 million smartphones, a 23% jump from the previous year, while Huawei jumped 58%. Then, in 2017, Xiaomi overtook Samsung as the market leader in India. Xiaomi was also cheap in other ways, like their direct-to-consumer sales with a reliance on flash sales, compared to Samsung's traditional in-store sales. But that doesn't answer everything. Apple had the exact same competition, yet almost every single year, their global market share increased. Why? These new entrants were a huge challenge for Samsung, but not so much for Apple, who were very much in the premium market. This is where Apple and Samsung differ, and why Samsung struggled to grow above 30% in the US. The Samsung Galaxy is important, but in actuality, it's only one small slice of the Samsung pie. There's the Galaxy S, the Z Fold or Flip, the Galaxy A series, the M series, the J series, the F series, all of which have overlapping designs, specs, and features. Samsung cast a wide net to catch everyone, and theoretically, that's the right move, but in reality, things work out different. Many customers might think, wait, is the M better than the J? But would the A be better than both? This is called brand cannibalization, meaning Samsung essentially competes with itself. Apple, on the other hand, almost never does discounts and has a small selection in each generation. You have the 15, the Plus, the Pro, and the Pro Max. When you shop for an iPhone, it's extremely easy to tell which phone is better in what way. Samsung, not so much. Globally, this worked, but I believe this prevented Samsung from dominating the US. For you smartphone enthusiasts, you might disagree, but many people don't research every phone brand when upgrading. 70, 80, or even as high as 95% of buying decisions are influenced by emotional and subconscious factors. Apple had an ecosystem, as expensive as it was, while Samsung was essentially just a product. You had the App Store, iCloud, Apple Music, Apple TV, Apple Pay, AirPods, MacBooks, and so much more. Sure, Samsung had the Galaxy earbuds and other devices or software, but much of it was third party. It didn't quite stack up to Apple, and that's the real key here. This was already important, but it became much, much more important very soon. Over the years, we've racked up 160 million views, yet somehow we still haven't reached 1 million subscribers. That conversion rate is even worse than Samsung's slipping market share. If you've been watching without subscribing, please hit the subscribe button so that we can finally make 1 million a reality. It happened in October 2022. Samsung's global market share dropped below Apple's as they moved into second place. The long-term trend for Samsung has been a bit up, a bit down, but largely flat. Yet now, it was starting to go down, and a lot. The exact same thing happened in the US too. What tipped the scales against Samsung when they were holding steady for so long? Why are things shrinking now? Well, let's add a bit of context. Markets don't grow forever, even if they seem to be. That's certainly the case for smartphones. After over a decade of explosive growth, things have begun slowing down, and this is especially bad for Samsung. Q3 2022 was the worst quarter for the industry since 2014. Shipments globally began to decline and the market dropped 9%. That doesn't sound like much, but remember, this is the global industry. Even 1% represents billions of dollars, but it gets worse. The market shrunk again in 2023, down 4%. It bounced back in 2024, but the market has clearly flatlined and is even declining. Okay, so why is it just Samsung then? Well, it's not just Samsung. While steady in the US, Apple's global market share has also been shrinking, from 31% in May 2023 to 26% in 2025. In early 2025, iPhone sales in China dropped 9%. You might think that's just because of the tariffs and the trade war, but Apple's been slowing down for a couple of years now. In fact, they've dropped all the way to third place in 2024 and only have 15% market share in China after iPhone sales dropped over 18%, the largest drop they've seen in 8 years. Local brands like Huawei and Xiaomi have overtaken Apple's throne, but there's something else. Have you ever noticed how every phone company seems to release a new phone every year? Well, that might now be coming back to bite them. While new smartphones are stagnating, the used smartphone market is growing, and by a lot. That market was $72.9 billion in 2023, with growth of 12.4%. With how expensive and how many frequent new phones come out, this makes a lot of sense. Buying a year-old iPhone, which is 99% as good as the newest one for under half the price, more and more people are beginning to see the logic. Interestingly, this used market is dominated by Apple and Samsung, who make up 64% of it. The moral of the story here is that Samsung picked a battle without clarity. Samsung made great phones, and still does. That's not the problem. The problem is that they put themselves in an awkward position by trying to market to premium customers and super cheap customers. And now they're being squeezed from both ends, by Apple in the premium markets in the US and cheaper brands globally. But it's more than just selling phones. It's retaining users. People who switch to Apple and their ecosystem are very unlikely to switch. It's hard to say the same thing for Samsung. The game used to be about selling more phones to more people, but now it's about keeping users. Apple's hardware margins are great at 37%, but their service margins are even better, as high as 73%. The reality is that Samsung needs to change their game if they want to stay in at all. If you'd like to earn a 1% bonus every year, consider transferring over your stocks and ETFs to Silo Markets. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.